This morning, I just want to share a few thoughts that I hope will help us understand something relatively simple, I think. And that is, what is the Christian life and how does it work? That simple. And you may be wondering why I have camping gear on the table. You know, I've got this pitcher and this little cup. And then I've got what's sort of supposed to be a saucer. It's really a little plate, so you'll just have to live with that. But that'd be like a saucer and a cup. And then we've got this little, this larger plate. So pitcher, cup, saucer, plate. It's a picture that I'm going to sort of explain, you know, why the camping gear, to try and help you understand what the Christian life is and how the Christian life works. It was fun to hear the stories of this China trip. My brother is a captain for Hainan Airlines based in Beijing. And he will frequently tell me stories of his experiences. He's a triathlete. So when he trains, he hops in his bike and rides out to the Great Wall and back. And then he goes to the bird's nests and swims in the pool there. So he has many China stories that he enjoys sharing with our family. So someone asks you, what is the Christian life? Maybe you consider yourself a Christian. Maybe you do not. What is it? Well, there's as many answers as there are people, it sometimes seems. The Christian life, some would say, is a very long list of things you're supposed to do that never seems to be done. That's how some people feel. Just sort of this burdensome, overwhelming, oh my, I cannot possibly live up to that. I'm done. Other people will say, well, the Christian life is a club, and you're either in or you're out. You've got to know the right people. It's sort of in a political arena. We're in this political season. So some people feel like that's what the Christian life is about. What I'd like to suggest is that, about as simply as I could say it, the Christian life is really about Jesus Christ and about who he is and about living in him. And the reason for this dumb little camping set on the table here is to try and illustrate something that I think you'll hear in just a few little passages from the Bible that I want to read to you. The first one is one that we heard read just before the China report. And it's in John 7. And I think we're going to have some of these passages up on the screen for you to read along and just see. This is Jesus speaking. He's in the temple. He's crying out with a loud voice to anybody who'll listen to him. And he's extending an invitation. And what is that invitation? He just says this. He says, let anyone who is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit. So some people, when they think of the Christian life, they think of something that sounds burdensome, or they feel like it's sort of irrelevant to real life. But what I'd like to suggest is that the Christian life is sort of like this cup and this pitcher. Okay, right now, the cup is empty. I was given a cup of real water, and I'm going to take a drink because I can. It's very helpful. It's refreshing. When you're thirsty, like some of you sitting there, that would really help, wouldn't it? Right? I mean, we're not talking about just theoretically, oh yeah, water's nice. No, right now, it really, really helps, especially in a hot room. This isn't just a theoretical thing. This is a good thing. I'm grateful for a glass of water. This helps. Okay? I'm not trying to be silly about this. When I talk about the Christian life, I talk about a life that quenches my thirsts. A life that brings refreshment to me. A life that brings me joy. And where do I find this life? It's very simple. I find it in relationship with Jesus Christ. We just got through the Olympics, yes? How many Olympics fans? A few of you? How about, what were some of your favorite Olympic moments? Just a few, anyone. Favorite Olympic moments as you remember back. Come on. Michael Phelps, what, 22 medals, I think, 18 of them gold. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Oh, man. Amazing. other Olympic moments you really enjoyed? Women's soccer, absolutely. That was amazing. Was it 3 years, three Olympics in a row they've taken gold? Other favorite moments? I heard about that. First judo gold medal ever. That's pretty cool. See, these only happen every 4 years, right? I've already got all of the Olympic Games that have been established and determined in my calendar. They're in my calendar, actually. I know the day they start and the day they end. I like Olympics that much, okay? I love the excitement. I love the joy. I love the energy of it. But see, what I would love for you to feel is that this is what the Christian life can be like. That the excitement, the energy of what many feel when they think of the Olympic Games, the achievements, the wow factor. You know, those opening ceremonies and some of those amazing moments we got to witness. There's a sense of amazement, excitement, invitation. That the Christian life, I would simply say, is a relationship of intimacy with Jesus, who is alive, who is among us, who is with us. That if my life were a cup, he's like the pitcher that pours. And he pours into me until what? What happens if you keep pouring into a cup eventually? You have a mess. Right. That's exactly right. Okay? You keep pouring until it's full. Now, if my life is a cup, what's filling my cup? Sometimes, if I'm really honest, sometimes what feels like filling my cup is worry. Have you ever experienced that feeling? Like my cup just feels like a cup of worry. Just me? You know, I feel that way sometimes. I've got a lot of things on my plate right now. I'll talk about plate in a minute. So what do I need when I have a life that feels like a cup full of worry? What do I need? What do you need when you have a life that feels like a cup full of worry? Well, one thing I can think of is peace. Wouldn't that help? If you have a life that feels like a life full of worry, wouldn't it help if you could find some peace? What I'd like to say is that my experience is that Jesus loves to pour his peace into my life until eventually the worry that's in there just gets sort of shoved out, pours out over the edges, and what I end up with is a cup full of peace. What are some other things you find your life being full of other than worries? Maybe it's full of hardships, difficult experiences, things that happen that you would have never chosen. And they're hard. And what do you need when your cup feels full of hardships, difficulties, painful experiences? What do you need? Anyone? What would help? Peace would help again. What else would help? Comfort. Comfort would help, wouldn't it? So I sometimes find my life to feel like a life full of hardships, and Jesus wants to be the one to just pour his comfort. He's the God of all comfort until my cup is full. This is an amazing opportunity for us. Jesus cries out in this passage that we've read right here, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." One of the great questions that we can ask ourselves, whether we would describe ourselves as Christ followers or we would not, is to ask ourselves a simple question, and that is, what are the thirsts that drive my life these days? What is it that gets me up in the morning? What keeps me up late at night? What do I think a lot about? What's on my heart quite frequently? These might well be your thirsts. And then a second question you could ask yourself is, what are you doing about those? What's your strategy for finding that thirst quenched? And maybe a third question to ask would be, Is that really working? Some of my strategies are not the most workable strategies. Have you experienced that you've got a thirst and then you go somewhere and it doesn't seem to help? Anybody? You know? Sometimes I feel anxious, and so my strategy is, I know, I'll turn on the television and sit in front of it for 5 hours. I'm not sitting and watching 5 hours of stimulating, you know, Olympic events, probably watching mindless sitcoms or reality TV, anything but real, but why am I doing that? Do I really think this will leave me with a cup full, just overflowing with goodness? No, it'll just sort of take my mind off the fact that what I have a cup full of, I don't like. But I'm invited to come and let Jesus pour who he is, his peace, his comfort, his encouragement. What are your thirsts? Lately, I've found myself thirsty for some sense of meaning or value. And Jesus comes and fills my life with encouragement. I'm thirsty for love, I find sometimes. I'm thirsty for recognition. I long for a sense of rest and well-being. I'm thirsty for joy. I'm thirsty for meaningful relationships with other people. I'm thirsty for a life that makes a difference. Where will I find these things? Well, ultimately, I find that the greatest source of life, of comfort, of joy, of these things that I really would love to see filling the cup of my life, I find in Jesus. Let me read just a couple of other quick passages to help you see this a little bit more. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10 is a little description of who Jesus is. And it simply says that in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Do you see that? That in Jesus, in a sense, is God personified. All that God is in him. All that God is in him. And in him, we have been brought to fullness. Isn't that great news? Can we let ourselves enter into that? Can we let him fill the cup of our lives until they overflow? The other passage I want to read is just a very simple one. It's in a psalm, Psalm 23. It's a very familiar one. And in it, we have this little line. I'll read the whole, but the last line is the one I want you to see. The writer of the psalm is talking about God and says, God, you're the kind of God who prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Would you say that your life feels like a life that overflows with the good kinds of things you hope for? Joy? Peace? Excitement for life? Passion? Or does it sometimes feel like your life is sort of, I'm just sort of eking out the last couple drops of what I have, just trying to make it through. It doesn't feel like it's overflowing and I got more than I can hold, so I'm going to have to give some of this away. I got too much. My cup can't hold it all. So it overflows. That's the invitation that Jesus extends to us. Now, let me just talk to you a little bit about the last two pieces of the camping gear. Okay? So now we also have, in addition to this pitcher and this cup, we have a saucer and we have a plate. You see it? Camping gear. Now, excuse me, what I'm experiencing here is the experience of salty sweat in your eyeball. So this is, I am overflowing, but not in the way I would prefer. Man, that is not fun. I need a different kind of overflow. Let me just try this one. That helps. So there's this pitcher cup, right? And then this saucer plate. So let me explain what these mean. And maybe this will help you understand what I'm trying to get at. When we talk about this saucer, that the plate sits on? This saucer represents the people in your life, your relationships. Who are the people on the saucer with you? Family members, right? Friends, folks that you enjoy perhaps coming here to Crossline, being a part of. It's the people in your life. And then the plate, which will come as no surprise, I don't think. The plate is just all of the things we're doing. The plate is our job. The plate is work we do around the house. It's all of the tasks. What are some of the things that are on your plate? Anyone? What's on your plate right now?
Laundry.
Laundry is on your plate, yes. I can already see piles of it in our garage right now, sitting there waiting for attention. Laundry's on the plate. What else is on your plate right now? Dishes. Okay, so the house needs lots of attention. What else is on your plate? How about those of you who are in the marketplace? In the what's on your plate? Something specific you're working on that's on your plate right now. Is this summer vacation? Maybe you all don't have anything yet. Anyone? Finding a job's on your plate. Well, that's unfortunately, there's many of us who would probably identify with that. See, what often can happen is we can begin to feel like our lives become just sort of cup, plate. I'm just trying to get through life. Just trying to make all the stuff happen that needs to happen. Just trying to make it through. And I forget about the richness of pitcher pouring into my life. And I forget about the people that surround my life, the people that fill my life. Every task on this plate somehow involves people. Hopefully somehow blesses people. Now, if I pour into the cup of my life, Jesus pours into the cup of my life, and it begins to overflow, where does it overflow? Where does it hit first? It overflows into the lives of people around me, doesn't it? In this little, you know, simple picture, it pours out onto the saucer. And that begins to fill. And we begin to experience in our shared relationship with Jesus a richness, an overflow, an abundance. Now, when the saucer fills up, where does it overflow? Go ahead, somebody say it. Where does the saucer overflow to? Yeah, plate. Yeah, this is not, you know, this is not brain surgery. This is, you know, simple mechanics. It's what happens. You know, if I had a pitcher full of water, I poured it until the cup was full, the saucer would fill, then the plate would fill, then we'd have a mess on the floor. Okay, that's how it would work. But as a picture, what I'm trying to help you see is this enriches all of the to-dos of our lives. Whether it's the home to-dos, you know, why are we doing laundry? Well, because the clothes are dirty. Yes, thank you very much. That's perfectly true. We're doing the dishes for the same reason. But we're also doing it because we love people. If I go home and I put a load of laundry in the washer and then move it to the dryer or hang it up on the hangers, I'm doing that because of people. People wore those clothes. People ate off those dishes. It's an opportunity for me to express love, isn't it? When it comes to this saucer plate, saucer is family. Plate might be house. We're doing some remodeling right now. Some new carpets going in this week. That feels good. We just moved three of our rooms, rotated them in the house. I had an office upstairs with 2,000 books in it. We had to move all of those books to a downstairs office. Let's just say the sweating I'm doing now is very light compared to the sweating I did then. That was a lot of plate, a whole lot of plate to move three rooms in a house around. But why did we do it? Just because we felt like we ought to do it? Or no, because of saucer. We did it because of people. We now in our house have this space, thanks to this rotation, where we can sit and be quiet and be a family together. My office now has some space for my wife and I to visit. We never had that space before. So the plate is there for the benefit of the saucer. The tasks that we do, whatever they may be, whether it's our work, It's our ministry. It's something we do for a neighbor. We do the task because we want to bless the person. Ministry is about people. Our work is about people. Does that make sense? So, for example, this week I've been trying to prepare this talk. In most this week, I've just had this cup full of anxiety. I could not put my brain cells together. Part of it is because on Monday, I had 25 students turn in 600 pages of research papers. I did not design the course. This course ended up with a 66% balloon payment of credit in the last week alone. And all those papers came to me, and I got to grade them this week. So those of you who are teachers, you will appreciate the fun of that. And so I have that on my mind, and then, oh, yes, I'm speaking this morning for my friends at Crossway, and oh, and I'm speaking this afternoon for my friends at another small church, and oh, yeah, that's right, I've got this book that I'm supposed to edit, and I have a deadline of this, and, you know, I just, pretty soon my cup was a cup full of anxiety. Well, but I'm supposed to be speaking to people about this life of overflow. We got a problem here. You know, like I'm going to stand up and recommend something I'm not enjoying, you know. I don't use the product. Sounds dumb, doesn't it? And so at a number of moments this week, I had to just step back from all those things on my plate. All these things on my plate. Just my plate is full. You ever feel that? Like, I've just got a full plate. I mean, maybe I just need to get a bigger plate. You know, maybe I need a platter. Maybe I need an entire table, you know, for my life. But what I began to realize is I got to back up a little bit. And I got to remember, one, the things I'm doing right now in my life, I'm doing because I want to bless people. I get the treat of being with you all. You've been very patient as we're all fanning ourselves and wiping sweat off foreheads. But you've been very kind to let me just share a few thoughts that have helped me. I get to bless you all. It's not about me standing and being a good speaker or a bad speaker. That's your decision, not, you know, not mine. But it's an opportunity for me to hopefully give something that would help you. Hopefully that's going to happen this evening. Hopefully this is what happened in my work with 25 students. It's about the people. It's not about just the task. That changes my perspective. That helps me. And then in that, I realize whatever good is going to come is going to be coming as I'm letting myself be filled, letting myself be refreshed. And the overflow of what's filling me begins to splash out and help others. Let me read a couple of passages that I think help illustrate this, and we'll probably bring closure to this. The first one is from a little dinky book called Philemon. Paul's describing him, talking about him, and says, you know, Philemon, your love has really given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Isn't that a great phrase? Wouldn't it be great to think of yourself? In fact, you could probably think of some people who are like that. You like to be with them because when you're with them, you just feel encouraged. You feel helped. You feel refreshed. They're fun to be with. They're life-giving. Sadly, we can also identify with the experience of maybe being with some folks who are not as refreshing. Nobody in this room, I know, but just, you know, theoretically work with me. You know, that some people are a little more draining. It's like, yeah, I could stand not to spend lots of hours with that person, which makes me sad to think. And yet that's true, isn't it? See, we become people who refresh the hearts of others as we are people who learn to let ourselves be filled. Filled. The other verse that I want to share with you briefly is this one. It's a great little paraphrase from the message of this prayer in 1 Thessalonians 3:11-12, which Paul uses to say, may God our Father himself and our Master Jesus clear the road to you, and may the Master pour on the love so it fills your lives and splashes over on everyone around you, just as it does from us to you. So there it is. Pour on the love. That he pours on the love until it so fills us that our lives then splash out and bring encouragement, help, blessing to others. So in this picture, the two things I just want to leave you with are, one, what are the thirsts you find yourself experiencing these days? You know, what places of dissatisfaction do you feel? What places of hunger or thirst do you feel in your life? And the question then would be, how do you think, perhaps, Jesus would like to be the one pouring until that place of thirst is satisfied? Do you believe that's possible? Perhaps you've been experiencing profound anxiety for this or that reason, for any number of possible reasons. Do you believe it's possible for Jesus to so pour that that anxiety would be sort of displaced by peace? I know it's possible. I know it because that's my experience. I know that his peace can come in places of profound anxiety and meet me and bring just sort of a relaxation. And then the other piece would be, as you think about all of the things on your plate, and I'm guessing that many of us in this room have rather full plates. You could make your own list of things that are happening, things that you're doing, things that you're up to. What I would simply invite you to do is think about the people that all these things on the plate affect. Ultimately, first, it's about the people in your life before it is about the tasks that you do. What I'd like to take a moment to do, and I hope that you will join me, is I'd like to just take a moment to pray. And the way that I'm going to do that is very simple. I'm going to take a moment first and just allow there to be quiet. And for just a few moments, not long, but just a few, all you're going to hear is the sound of the fans and probably the kids, you know, here next door, and the sound of, you know, these fans that we're using. But otherwise, it's going to be quiet. And while we're quiet, I'd like to invite you to think about this question. What thirsts do I feel in my life right now? See if a creative idea comes, maybe something specific. And then I'd like you to consider, how is it that Jesus might like to be the one to fill the cup of your life in that particular arena of thirst? I hope you'll join me just for a moment in quiet, and then I'll pray aloud, and we'll close. And now, Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to be together with these friends. And thank you for the ways in which you want to meet us in the very places where we feel need, whatever those places may be. I trust that in some measurable way you would help each one of us to discover in you new ways in which you would like to meet us in the places of thirst that we have. Whatever those thirsts may be, that we could be open to you and look to you and find in you something we didn't expect, something that surprises us. And now thank you for maybe ways you'll help us along that path. We pray in your name. Thanks, Jesus. Amen.